Let's pray. Father, we do thank you once again for the opportunity to be here, Lord. We thank you, God, for your word. And Lord, as we just look and watch again as our Savior, Lord, as you walked here and you ministered and, Lord, you even challenged people. I pray, God, I pray that the things we look at today, the subject we look at today would just impact our lives. God, it's so easy to kind of get on cruise control, and I pray this would stir us, Lord, to pursue a deeper and closer walk with you. So, Lord, I just ask that you give us ears to hear, make our hearts tender, Lord, so that we can hear and do exactly what you want us to do. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, an important thing you might want to know, this is also recorded in Matthew 12 and Luke 6. You can write that down if you want to read the parallel passages, the way Matthew recorded it and Luke recorded it. But as we're looking at this, if you remember, we left off last time where Jesus is challenging the religious people about the things that they have brought in on top of the law that God gave them. Remember I told you, God gave 613 laws. I don't know about you guys, but that's a lot to keep up with, right? That's a lot to kind of try and think about and whether I'm doing them or whether I'm not. And listen, and I know a lot of people think you can, you know, I can do it. Well, most of you don't even know. Well, you maybe know the top 10, right? But you don't know the others. And you kind of, how are you going to do something if you don't know it? So it's hard to keep track of it. And on top of that, as we talked about, the Pharisees added to it. And they wrote volumes about the laws. And some specifically, listen, the thing that distinguishes, even today, the Jews from everybody else, three basic things. One is circumcision, is that one part of the law. The other is their dietary restrictions. And the last is what we're going to look at today, the Sabbath. That's what distinguishes Jews, if you look, from all other cultures. And that's what kept them separate. That was their identity. That's the thing that they hung on to, and they still hang on to it today. And it's the thing that makes them listen. And Jesus is attacking some of those things. And here's what I found. When you share with people and you kind of go at their core belief system, it freaks them out, right? It kind of shakes them up. And so Jesus is shaking the tree, so to speak, and he's doing that. Now, here's an interesting thing. We're going to talk today a lot about the Sabbath, because I think a lot of Christians are confused about the Sabbath. I know that one of the at the Q&A at the women's retreat, that question came up, and I read the question. Gaynell brought it home Saturday night, and I read it, and I go, that's interesting. I'm going to be teaching on that this weekend, tell the ladies, which she didn't. But anyway, just thought I'd let you know. So listen, but it is interesting because here's I can't remember exactly, but it was worded something like this. When did we change the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday? Well, there's several things wrong with that question. Number one, we, which I think would include me, didn't do that. I wasn't part of changing it. Listen carefully. The Sabbath did not change. The Sabbath is Saturday, will always be Saturday. It will never change from Saturday. Some Christians and some theologians try to make Sunday like the Sabbath, but listen, the whole terminology, Sabbath, is all about Saturday, nothing about Sunday. So just that clarification, I think, needs to be made, because when we try and do that, then we're messing things up. So I understand, though, some people are trying to do what you should do on Saturday, on Sunday, and I get that. But listen carefully. I think we mess things up. Here's a few scriptures where it speaks distinctly about the Sabbath, and you can write these down and look them up because I think it's important. And you can even start to turn to Exodus 20 because we're going to read that before we get started. So listen, you have Exodus 20, you have Exodus 23, you have Exodus 31, you have Exodus 34, and then Deuteronomy 5 are specific ones about the Sabbath that I think we should have, you know, kind of an understanding of what's going on. Now, listen, I wanted to read out of Exodus 20 before we get started so we can kind of have something which we're going to, you know, build a foundation on. In Exodus 20, verse 8, let's look at it and just read simply what it says. God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in it. Then all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. That's the fourth commandment in the Ten Commandments. Now, number one, you need to know this. The Ten Commandments will never get you to heaven. That's not how you get to heaven. Listen, some people think, if I only could keep the Ten Commandments, number one, nobody can even keep the top ten. You know, because I would venture to say, I'm just taking a wild guess here. Probably, more than likely, everybody in here has lied. Right? I'll get a lie detector thing and put on you. We'll find out. Listen. I mean, you just get down to that one and you're going, oh, man. And I would venture to say also everyone in here has not always honored their father and their mother. You know, just a couple. Those are kind of some minor ones. But here's what we think. We think if I could keep the Ten Commandments, listen, you can go your entire life and never murder anybody and you're still not going to get into heaven because you didn't murder someone. I think that's a good thing that you didn't murder somebody. But that's not what gets you into heaven. James, in the book of James, says this. If you stumble at one point of the law, one point, remember there's 613, there's not just 10, there's 613. If you stumble at one point, you've broken the whole law. So that would include everybody. So, you know, I think people have this misnomer. Well, if we just do the Ten Commandments, we'll be okay. Listen, number one, we're going to read in a minute. This is given to Israel. So the Sabbath, did you notice as we read that, though? Here's an important thing. Did you notice when we went through that? There was nothing about worship. There was nothing. Here's what God said the Sabbath was. Let me put it in plain language. Just rest. That's what God said. God says, I want you to rest. You need a day of rest. Take a day off. Chill out. You know, whatever terminology you want to do. God said rest. The Jews took that where God says rest and do no work, and they gave 49 different categories of what work was. That's crazy. Here's what God said. I want you to chill out. Now here's what you're doing your whole day on the Sabbath. You're worried about breaking the Sabbath. That's not resting, is it? Because you're all paranoid. You're all freaked out about, I wonder if I'm breaking the Sabbath. I wonder if I'm doing something wrong. I wonder if I should be doing this. I wonder if I shouldn't be doing that. And you're freaking out and you're not resting. Here's what you need to do. Rest. Chill. Take time off. Now, I know some of you are rereading that. And you're going, wait a minute. He said to keep it hallowed and honor it and et cetera. Hey, listen, all that terminology is this. Make sure you do it. That's all God's saying. So, listen, having said that, God says we need to rest. I think it's fine. And I know some people that are very, very strong about taking a day of rest. That is a very good thing to do. Why? God says to do it. It's a good thing to do, but listen carefully. Just because you take a day of rest doesn't make you more holy than somebody else. Doesn't make you more spiritual than somebody else. Doesn't even make you closer to God than somebody else. That's where we get messed up. That's where we get, you know, into this whole thing and we start messing up. So listen, having said that, we're gonna check some more, but I wanna go, well, you know what, before we go there, I'm gonna read to you Exodus 31. You can flip over there. Listen to Exodus 31 because I think this is careful or important. Then we'll kind of jump in to Mark finally. Look at Exodus 31. Starting in verse 12, it says this. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying also, saying, speak also to the children of Israel. Listen carefully. Speak to who? The children of Israel. Do you know who the children of Israel are? They're the children of Israel. You guys are going, you're being kind of crazy. I think this is important. Who was Moses supposed to speak to? The children of Israel. That's the Jewish people. It's not, listen, he didn't say, speak to the church. He didn't say, speak to the Gentiles. He didn't even say, speak to the world. He said, speak to the children of Israel. This becomes important. So he says, listen, speak to them saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep. Notice the plural there, Sabbaths. I'm going to challenge you. Those first scriptures I put up, There's one in there that talks about, because Sabbath is plural. That doesn't mean all the Sabbaths of the year. Here's what that means. Do you know there's a lot of different Sabbaths that God has ordained? Number one is, here's a big one. A lot of people who I call Sabbatarians, people who are really into keeping the Sabbath, they think. They're really into Saturday. They're doing this whole thing on Saturday. They say, that's when you got to worship. That's when you got to come together. Once again, God never said anything about when to worship. He said, rest. But even for those people who do that and they go, listen, we're keeping the Sabbath, we're honoring the Sabbath. If you're going to do that, let me tell you, if you're going to get dogmatic and legalistic about that, then you need to do this. Every 6 years, you need to take a year off. Now most of us are going, yes, tell my boss. Because that's part of the Sabbath. Listen carefully. Israel was in the country, in the land, for 490 years. In 490 years, that's a long time, right? Most of us, that's a long time. They're there 490 years. Do you know over those 490 years, they never kept the Sabbath year that God told them to keep? He told them, every 6 years, take a year off. Now, how crazy, how stubborn we are as humans when God says, take a year off. No, I'm going to not do that. Well, they never did it. You know what God did? He kicked them out of the land. He said, get out of my land. And that's the whole Babylonian captivity. They got drug off. Jeremiah wrote in his book. Let's see. Jeremiah did a little cipher. And let's see. 490 divided by 7, the 7 years they're supposed to take. That means they owe God 70 years. So here's what God did. Get out of my land. After 70 years, he brought them back. He gave the land the rest. So, number one, if you're going to be that Sabbatarian, you're going to follow this stuff. You need to, if you're going to keep God's Sabbaths, you need to do that one. You need to do every Saturday. You need to do every Passover. You want me to keep going? There's a lot of things. You got to. There's a whole bunch of stuff. Pretty soon you don't have enough fingers. And then you start breaking them. So God says, surely my Sabbath, let's keep going, you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you. Who's it a sign between? Who's the Sabbath a sign between? God and the children of Israel. Not the world. Not the church. And listen carefully, the church did not replace Israel. You need to read the book of Romans if you're messed up on that. Israel's still Israel. The church is the church, right? So he says, listen, he says, it's a sign between me and you throughout your generations that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Verse 14, you shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. That's a little scary, isn't it? There's a lot of people would be dying, right, if we were like real Sabbatarians. He says, put to death, for whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. It's a sign between God and the children of Israel, not the world. So listen, number one, you start getting all mixed up on that. This is about God and Israel, not God and the church. And we want to bring that stuff in. And here's what's insane. Why do we want to bring that kind of stuff in? And we want to get all legalistic. You know why? Here's the thing. Jesus calls you and I to walk by faith. Here's what he's calling us to, a relationship with him. And he wants us to walk by faith. And that is hard. But here's what we want. We want little boxes we can check off. Kept the Sabbath. Check. Read my Bible. Check. Said a prayer. Check. Went to church. Check. And we have this little checklist, and here's the thing we think. Now I'm okay. That makes me okay. Walking by faith is hard. You need to get a little box. That's why you get all legalistic. So listen, these guys, God says don't do any work. Now let's go back to Mark and see what happens, because by the time of Jesus, it was getting insane of what's going on. Look at verse 23 in Mark 2. And check this out. It says, now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. And as they went, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath? Oh, there are so many things wrong with this. Number one, some people say, Are they stealing because they're in somebody's grain field and they're eating? In Deuteronomy 23, you can look it up later. In Deuteronomy 23, God did a really cool thing. Here's what he said. He says, you know what? If you're cruising along and you're really hungry and you don't have money for food and stuff, just go in a grain field, pick some grain and eat it. It's fine. Just pick some grain. But he said, don't put it in your pockets. Don't take a container. Don't. That's ripping people off. But you just pick some and eat. That's fine. You're hungry. You get it. If you go in a vineyard, you want a few grapes, just pick some grapes and eat them. But don't fill up your pockets. Well, that'd be kind of weird, huh? Because you'd have wine by the time you got out of there. But listen, don't put them in your pockets. Don't put them in the container. You just eat. You know, here's what God's saying. If you're hungry and you don't have money for food and the food's there, just take some. It's all right. So they weren't stealing from the people. They're just walking along. But they're walking along and they're eating the grain. Now here's what the Pharisees and I gotta ask this. What were those turkeys doing in the grain fields? Right? It's the Sabbath. What are they doing hanging out? And why aren't they home with their families? Why aren't they ministering to their wives and their children? They're hanging out. Listen, they're hanging out because here's what legalistic people do. They hang out to make sure you're doing what they think you should be doing. And if you don't do it, they're going to let people know, right? They're going to get on Facebook. They're going to post it on Facebook. People are going to find out what you're doing wrong. It's going to be all over. So listen, you got these guys. They're walking and they're going, why do your disciples do what is not lawful on the Sabbath? Now, as I said, by the time of Christ, they had 39 categories of what defined work, which is kind of insane, right? One of them is you can't build a fire. Even today in Israel, here's a crazy thing. You go to Israel today, and you want to, on the Sabbath, you want to go up in an elevator. Well, you can't go in the elevator and push a button, because if you push a button, it makes a contact, it makes a connection, and that connection makes a spark, and the spark makes the electricity go, and you go up, and therefore you've done work. So to get around that, they have elevators that stop on every single floor. And you get in a Shabbat elevator, that's what it's called. There's a little light on it, says this is a Shabbat elevator. On that day, on the Sabbath, you get in that elevator. Here's the thing, if you're on the 19th floor, it's a long, long journey, man, because you're stopping at every floor. The doors open, they stay open for a long while, then they close, then you go to the next floor, they go open. Therefore, you're not doing work. Now listen, that's pretty crazy, isn't it? But that's the way they were in Jesus' day. So here's what they're saying. Why are your disciples doing what's not lawful? Well, number one, picking the grain was okay. I think they knew that. I think they knew Deuteronomy 23. I think they had that down. But, you know, there's other things they added. So here's what they're thinking. Here's the mindset. Number one, on the Sabbath, you could go 1,999 paces, but if you went 2,000 paces, that was work. Go figure, right? So people are walking along, 1,999. I mean, what do you freeze at that point? You know, it's crazy, right? So that's as far as you could walk. I would venture to say the grain field was a little bit more than 1,999 paces. So they probably broke that tradition, part of the Sabbath. Then they picked the grain. Oh, that's harvesting. Really? I picked it with my hand. It's harvesting, kind of crazy, like pushing a button makes a spark, right? Kind of a crazy thing. And then you have to like rub it to get the chaff off, right? So you can eat it. Well, you're rubbing it, now you're winnowing and preparing a meal. You kind of get the point. Is that insane? Listen, is that insane? So listen, here's what they're doing. They're telling Jesus, why are these guys breaking the Sabbath? And you got to love Jesus, man. You got to love what he says. Listen, I love this. Why are they doing what's not lawful? This is insane. Verse 25, but Jesus said to them, have you never read what David did? Now listen, before you read on, this is all in 1 Samuel chapter 21. We just studied this on midweek. But do you get what Jesus just said to these guys? Who are the Pharisees? Remember who the Pharisees are. These are the guys who, most of them, have memorized the entire Old Testament. They know the word. They got it in their heads. Now check this out. Jesus just told them, have you guys ever read your Bible? Don't you love it? Don't you love what he does? Listen, they're going, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath? And Jesus goes, hey, you guys ever read your Bible? It's like, duh. You talk about kind of getting in someone's craw. You kind of like really sticking it to them. You know, what do you mean, have I ever? I've got the thing memorized. Wow, that's heavy, isn't it? That's really calling them out. And Jesus tells them, listen, here's what Jesus says. He says, hey, you guys, did you ever check out your Bible, what David did when he was in need and in hungry and those who were with him? Verse 26, how he went to the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and he ate the showbread, which was not lawful to eat except for the priest, and he also gave some to those who were with him. You know, if you've been with us, you know this story. Listen, David is on the run, right? David is in a bind. They don't have any food. He goes to Nob, and the priests there, they had the showbread. Remember what the showbread was? Remember you had the tabernacle, and you went in the tabernacle. You went in a holy place, the first compartment of the tabernacle, and you had different articles of furniture in there. You had the lampstand. You had the incense altar. And then you had the table of showbread. And the table of showbread, they would bake 12 loaves. They would put them in there. They would leave them in there for a week, and then every week they would change them out. And when they changed them out, the priests could eat the showbread, but because it had been in there, only the priests could eat it. They were the only ones allowed. Even that's in the Word. Listen, that's in Leviticus. So go home, read Leviticus, and find that. So listen, here's what Jesus says. Haven't you guys ever read your Bible? Because David's their hero, right? This is when David went in, and David was hungry, and his guys are hungry. And he eats the bread that only the priests are going to eat. And Abiathar was there. Ahimelech was there too. And that's a whole mix-up we don't need to get into this morning. Listen, they're there. And he says, and they gave him the bread and they ate the bread. Oh, for shame. Because that's what some of us think. Oh, they didn't. Yeah, they did. They ate all 12 loaves. No, say it isn't so. And the priest let them? Yeah. You know why? Because human need is way more important than ritual. And Jesus is trying to make a point with these guys. He's saying, come on, guys. Quit being silly. Quit being over the top. Quit being crazy. Listen, God never intended. Well, we need to read on because he explains it. Jesus does better than I do. Look at verse 27. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Duh, right? And that's what happens. Listen, this is what happens in legalism. People get all legalistic and they forget why God did what God did in the beginning. God made the Sabbath so man would take care of himself because we're stupid, right? We'll overwork. How many of us work and work and work and work and we go and we go and we go? Listen, even here, if I watch you guys, not taking a day off, not doing things, I tell them, you got to take a day off. You can't do that. Listen, you'll kill your body. Your body cannot have. God knows how our bodies work. And here's what he says. You need a day off once in a while. You need a time where you're not doing anything. And you need to take a day off and chill out. And here's what we do. Okay, well, that means I can't push an elevator button. I can only go 1,999 steps. And I can only, and you get all nuts. And God says, I did it for you because I love you. And I made you. And I know how you work. Do you know they even did an experiment with machinery? And they found that on plants that ran 24/7 all the time, that the machines would, break down quicker than if they gave them just a little day break every once in a while and just shut the whole plant down for a day and then go. And you might say, well, that only makes sense. No, but they outlasted way longer. Even machinery, it becomes fatigued. You got to get, these bodies need rest. And that's all it's about. So here's what Jesus says. What are you guys, stupid? God made the Sabbath for man, not man for the Sabbath. And that's what we do. Listen, that's what we do with the Word of God all the time. We flip it over upside down and we get all messed up and then we try and shove it into somebody's face and make somebody do something. And Jesus is going, chill out. Now, I like that. Listen, and then he really blows their minds. Check out what he does. Therefore, you know what therefore is all about? Whenever you see a therefore, you got to ask what the therefore is there for, right? He's drawn a conclusion. Listen, Jesus has drawn a huge conclusion. We learned that in seventh grade, didn't we? Some of us. Some of you skipped seventh grade. Therefore, the Son of Man. Did you pick up on that? Listen to what Jesus is doing. It was a couple weeks ago for us. It was a few months ago where Jesus healed, remember? He healed the guy, the crippled guy in the house. They put down on the mat and they brought him up and Jesus healed him. And he said, so that you know, to the Pharisees, remember what he said? So that you know the Son of Man, meaning himself, and he's the Messiah. So he's already put that title on himself. So listen what he just says to them here. Therefore, the Son of Man, remember that's me, right? Now check out what he says, is also Lord of the Sabbath. That's huge. Jesus just claimed some heavy-duty deity right here. I am the Lord of the Sabbath. Man, I think they should have got it. But sometimes we're so hard-hearted we don't hear, right? Man, he said, here's what he said. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. It's me. And you've messed it all up. And you did things with it that I never intended to do with it. Now, here's a couple things that I think is really cool. Number one, as Jesus is having a conversation with him, notice he draws from 1 Samuel chapter 21. Why? Because he knows the word. And some of you I know are going, well, dude, he wrote it. It's his. But listen carefully. You and I need to be familiar with the word of God. How are we going to get familiar with the word of God? By reading it. Why do we hear in this ministry continually tell people, read through the word every year. Go all the way through the word. Why? So that when you're in a conversation and you're with somebody and they have a specific need, you can give them the word of God to answer that need because you're familiar with it. Listen, I'm not saying you have to have chapter and verse. Jesus didn't quote a chapter and verse, did he? I know they didn't have them by then, but listen, he didn't quote, what did he say? Remember in the days of Abiathar, what David did? And then he just went off on the word of God. Do you know the word of God well enough to do that? Hey, do you remember in some place in Hebrews it says, today, we'll talk about that in a minute, today is the day of rest. I give you another day. It's called today. It's what the author of Hebrews says. So listen, there's things we need to know. We need to become familiar. So when we're having conversations with people, we can give them the word of God because the thing that is going to fix people's circumstances, the thing that is going to change and help them is the word of God. So Jesus gives that out. And then now he's saying, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. Now check out what happens because this has got to be good. This is why I connected these two. In verse 1 of chapter 3, it says he entered the synagogue. Now here's what I'm going on. Listen, he entered the synagogue again and there was a man there with a withered hand. So here's what's happening. Jesus walked through the fields, walked through the grain fields on the Sabbath, got to Capernaum. Now he's at Capernaum. And he goes in the synagogue on the Sabbath. All of this is one day, one perpetual day. And as Jesus goes in, and by the way, this is one of his last visits to a synagogue. Because they're not liking him anymore. You know, when he first showed up, they'd go, oh, would you teach, Rabbi? Now they're going, oh, man, here he comes. And here's what everybody knew, man. When Jesus walked in the synagogue, something was going to happen. And here's what blows my mind. With Jesus, check it out. Read the Gospels. Read them over and over and over and over and over and over. Get familiar with them. And here's the crazy thing. When Jesus shows up, people either loved him or hated him. There was none of this, well, that was an interesting character. They don't do that. They don't. Here's what they say. I want to kill the guy. I want to absolutely kill him. We need to get together. We need to form a committee and kill this guy. Or, hey, let's follow this guy, right? There was never an in-between. So now he goes in the synagogue. This is kind of crazy. Jesus walks in the synagogue. It's a Sabbath. And here's a guy with a withered hand. With a withered hand means he was crippled. Something happened to him and his hand's messed up, right? Now here's what I think. I think it's a plant. I think the Pharisees brought the guy in there and planted him there because they knew where Jesus was going to go. They stick a guy in there and they're going, we're going to get him now. And they get the guy in there. Now, here's a bummer. You're the guy with the withered hand, right? You didn't ask to be there, but it's kind of cool. Who cares, right? Who cares how you got there if Jesus is going to heal you? So you're there and now you're hanging out and the Pharisees are going, hang out, dude. When he comes in, we'll get him. What's he going to do? He's going to heal you. Here's the insane thing. Listen, read the next verse. Check this out. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so they might accuse him. Is that crazy? Are you understanding what I'm understanding? The Pharisees knew that Jesus had the power to heal that guy, and they still didn't believe in him. They knew all about him. They knew everything there was about him. But listen carefully, they did not know him. They did not have a relationship with him. Hey, you can know tons of stuff about Jesus, but the question is, do you know him? Do you have a relationship with him? So listen, here's the thing. This is insane. They stick this guy in here, and then they're watching, right? They got guys at every door. They got cameras. They got everything going on. They got their iPhones ready. Everybody's ready to film it. And they're going, we got to watch him because he's going to heal that guy. We know he can heal the guy. I wonder if he's going to do it. This is the Sabbath, after all. Now, here's the thing. On the Sabbath, by the way, there were certain things you couldn't do medically. If someone broke their arm, they had to wait till the next day. Just let it hang there. We'll take care of you on Sunday. If it was a compound fracture and you're bleeding, you could stop the bleeding, but you couldn't put any salve on it because if you put salve on it, that was healing. They did let ladies have babies. That was kind of nice. I'm shocked that they didn't say, no, stop now. I mean, it's just crazy things they did. It was insane things that they would do. They come up with all these crazy laws. It's like, really, if you got crushed by a wall and it was determined you were alive, they could dig you out. If you're dead, we'll wait till tomorrow. Is that insane? So this is the way they are. That's the way they thought. So listen, they get this guy in there and they're going, let's see if he heals on that Sabbath. Let's see if he breaks the Sabbath. Let's check this guy out. We got him now, right? And so Jesus comes in. He sees the guy with a withered hand. You got to love what Jesus does. Check out what Jesus does. Then he said to him, in verse 3, and he said to the man who had the withered hand, could you step forward, please? No. You're the guy with the withered hand. I don't really want to come forward. Can we just like do it from here? Because I know you're going to do something. It's going to freak everybody out, and I'm going to be in the middle of it, right? Jesus says, could you? Now, why did Jesus call him forward? Because Jesus loves to embarrass people. Why did Jesus call him forward? Because Jesus wants the Pharisees to know, number one, he's the Lord of the Sabbath. Number two, he's not afraid of them. Number three, he's not going to do anything in secret. Do you remember when Jesus was arrested? Again, know your Gospels. Remember when he was arrested and they had him and they're questioning him and they're trying to figure out different charges to bring against him and how they can hammer him? Do you remember they asked him, what were you doing? And do you remember his answer? Everything I've done out in the open. I've never done anything in secret. You should know what I'm doing because I've not hid anything. Why did Jesus call the guy forward? So that he would be out in the open. He's not hiding anything. I'm here doing it in front of everybody. Kind of crazy, huh? So he calls the guy forward, and then you got to love it. Then look at this question. This is awesome. Verse 4, Jesus said to them, excuse me, Pharisees, right? Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil? Just stop there for a minute. That's kind of crazy, isn't it? Is it lawful? What day is there that it's not good to do good? Oh, this is a really bad day to do good. And what day is there that's good to do bad, right? This is a day we're going to do evil. Woohoo! Let's get as evil as we can get. Jesus, I love Jesus. He goes, could you guys answer me a question? You guys are the brainiacs. You know the word. You have everything together. Could you ask me a question? He goes, on the Sabbath, is it good to do good or to do evil? Don't you love that? And then he says this. He says, is it good to save life or to kill? Why did Jesus ask him that question? Because they want to kill him. And he knows the thoughts and intents of our hearts. And Jesus just called them out. He goes, really, guys? Really? We're gonna do this now. This is what you want. I'm going to heal the guy. You know I'm going to heal the guy. This is background, right? You know I'm going to heal the guy. The guy is going to be really happy. You're going to be mad, and you're going to want to kill me. You want to kill me right now. That's what you want to do. Is that a good thing to do on the Sabbath? Is that a good thing? Is it good to be sitting in church thinking, I want to kill that pastor? That's not a good thing, right? It's not good. You're not sitting there going, man, if I could shoot him, I would. Listen, Jesus goes, you guys, and I'm thinking, no, well, look what they do. Don't you love these guys? Listen, at the end of verse 4, but they kept silent. I bet they did. I bet they kind of gulped. I bet they were like, oh, we are so busted, right? A couple of them, that wasn't. And that one guy goes, why did you get the guy with the withered hand? Man, when you said this was a perfect plan. And it's like backfiring on us, right? We had him. We had him right here. And it's every time they almost have Jesus, and then it's this big backfire. And so look at Jesus asks them. They all keep silent. And then don't you love it? Listen, Jesus. And when Jesus looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts. Listen, I think this is you can read it as a very emotional and passionate and harsh time? Or was it really a time of compassion? Jesus was angered because of the hardness of their hearts. And he's brokenhearted. He's looking at these men, and he knows that they know who he is. He knows they know exactly who he is. And they're not getting it. They're resisting. And he's angered. It is breaking his heart that they're so hard-hearted. They're not breaking down. It's not getting into them. And he's angered by that. And he sees the hardness of their hearts, and he's grieved in his spirit. And then you got to love it. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. Listen, do you know how insane that is? Are you getting this? We read our Bibles, and we go, yeah, he told the guy to stretch out his hand. He stretched out his hand. Really? First of all, Jesus said, come forward. The guy could do that, right? He gives the guy two commands. Walk forward. The guy goes, okay, I can do that. He says, stretch out your hand. Dude, you didn't notice? It's like all withered up. I can't stretch out my hand. Oh, yes, you can. Why? Because I told you to. Here's what I love about Jesus. Do you know he will never, ever command us to do anything that he hasn't already enabled us to do? But so there's so many of us, we would look at our withered hand and we go, I can't stretch out my withered hand. It's a withered hand. I'm crippled. I'm paralyzed. I can't do that. Listen, Jesus told the guy, stretch out your hand. What does that mean? Then you stretch out your hand, right? So the guy stretched out his hand. You got to love it. And he stretched it out. Listen, he'd never, I don't know how long he'd been paralyzed, but we'll assume a couple of years. He stretches his hand out. He does it. Why? Because he obeys what Jesus told him to do. And you and I need to remember that. Listen carefully. The guy had to stretch out his hand in order for his hand to be healed. Jesus expects us. Listen, when he tells us to do something, he expects us to do it. And we're kind of going, oh, I don't know, I don't think I can. Did he tell you to do it?
Well, yeah, but you know, it's like it's just too hard.
That's why it's faith. If you could do it on your own, you wouldn't need Jesus, would you? Listen, so he's just stretching. And I love the guy. The guy probably stretching out his hand. Now he's doing a little happy dance, right, up front. Woohoo! And his hand was restored as whole as the other. Wow. Shouldn't that be a time of celebration? Shouldn't that be a great moment? Oh, but look what happens. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him how they might destroy him. And these guys, it's like, they go with the biggest enemy they have in Galilee. The Herodians. They're horrible. Read about the Herods. Once again, read your Bible. Read about the Herods. These are bad, bad, bad people. And what do? They go find the worst people they can find, and they go, let's make a pact. Oh, what do you want to make a pact? Let's kill Jesus. You want to kill the Son of God? Yeah, let's just kill him. Let's just, you know, here's what we know. You guys are good at killing. So we want to make a pact with you so we can kill this guy. Does that kind of blow your minds? All of that, listen carefully, all of that over the Sabbath. The Sabbath. A couple things I do want to, you know, kind of wrap up as we're thinking about the Sabbath. Because I think there's still some of us in here going, dude, I don't know, you know. I think it's really important and I think we need to do things. And, you know, we put things. Listen, I want to read a couple more scriptures. I want to read out of Colossians. I kind of told you to stick a finger by Colossians and Romans. I'm going to go to Colossians first. And in Colossians 2, it says this. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival, or a new moon, or Sabbath. Let no one judge you according to those, he says, listen, according to food, or drink, or festival, or a new moon, or Sabbath, listen carefully, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Listen, it's about Jesus. It's not about keeping certain dietary restrictions, keeping certain days, doing certain things, ticking certain boxes. It's about Jesus. All of that is a shadow of the things to come. Why did God give the law? Again, the book of Romans. Why did he give the law? I'm sorry, the book of Galatians. He gave the law as a tutor, as a teacher, to press us down. Because you break a law, and you break another law, and you break another law, and you break another law. And then you figure out, sometime along your journey, I am a sinner. And God goes, okay, good. That's why I gave the law. Because I wouldn't know what sin was if it wasn't for the law. That's Romans. You know what? Read your whole New Testament after church today. And in Romans, he says, I wouldn't know what sin was unless the law told me what sin was. And the law told me what sin was. Now I know I'm a sinner. Now I know I need to be saved, right? It's a tutor to bring us to Christ. The whole thing's about Jesus. So here's what he says. Don't let people judge you because all of that's a shadow. The reality is Jesus. Now listen to what he says in Romans 14. Romans 14 is a good one. For those of you who want to judge, you know those of you who've got your Sabbath badges? And then you got your little Holy Spirit badges. Oh, excuse me, I'm the Holy Spirit. You're under arrest. You know, listen. The very first words in Romans 14:4. Who are you to judge another man's servant? Wow, that's pretty heavy, huh? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person, listen carefully, one person esteems a day above another. Another person esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. Hey, if you want to do something and call it the Sabbath and do it, go for it. Just don't put it on me. Don't tell me I have to do it. And if I don't want to do it, I can't tell you you can't do it. All I'm telling you is don't make it something, a requirement for me. And I'm also going to tell you this, don't make it a requirement for heaven. Just be careful. He says, listen, be convinced in your own heart. Do those things. And he says, listen, verse 6, he who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. Listen, Paul's very clear there. Be convicted in your own heart. Now, I think we should use the Word of God for our convictions, but one day is no greater than another day. Now, listen, I want to read out of Hebrews chapter 4. And I would encourage you, just read the whole chapter, but listen to this one part, because this is talking about rest. I want to get back to the rest factor. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. He who has done what? Entered his rest. Whose rest? Christ. When you enter into Christ, you enter that rest. Now you've ceased from works. He says, therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest. You want to really enter the rest? Then get in Jesus. That's where the rest is. That's where it's going. And keep going. Listen, keep going through Hebrews. Because listen, in Hebrews chapter 4 and Hebrews chapter 3 are all talking about this same whole, and it's long because they were trying to keep things. And he says, there is a day. There's a day appointed. It's called today. When should we honor God? Today. When is today? Well, it's today and it's tomorrow, right? Every day. Why do you pick a certain day and go, I'm going to be holy, and the rest of the week, I'm going to be stupid? That doesn't make any sense, does it? No. Call it today. Do you know when somebody asked me last week, somebody asked me, why do you guys worship on Sunday? I'm going to get to that in a minute. Why do you worship on Sunday? Because I want to. But listen, we don't just worship on Sunday. In this fellowship at Calvary Chapel, we have something Monday. We have School of Ministry, and we have our addiction ministry going on. That's ministry. That's worship. That's honoring God. On Tuesday, we have women's prayer, women's Bible study often going on. That's worship. That's gathering together. On Wednesday, we have men's prayer, and we have a men's study, and we have the School of Ministry. Once again, something going on. On Thursday, we have a midweek Bible study. On Friday, we have a young adults getting together. On Saturday, we have something. Are you kind of getting my point? When should we worship God? Every day. Every day is a good day. Tell me, you know, I would ask the question Jesus asked. Tell me when is a good day not to worship? That's like not possible, is it? So listen, he says that, oh, I want to read another one in Galatians. Listen in Galatians, because the Galatians were kind of drifting over into this legalistic thing. So check out what Paul tells them. But now, after you've known God, or rather known by God, it's Galatians chapter 4, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements which you desire to get again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid for lest I have labored in vain. Paul is freaking out because they're starting to do those things. So once again, if you want to do them, fine, but don't make them a decree of holiness and righteousness and a way for you to get to heaven. Now, two more scriptures, and then we'll kind of wrap this up. Because why do we worship on, you know, our main services, obviously? What's the fullest service? Right here. Why do you guys come to church on Sunday morning? Why do you do that? Well, some people go, because that's why. That's not a really good answer. It's okay, because you can. But listen, in Acts chapter 20, it says, now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. On the first day of the week, do you know when the first day of the week is? Sunday, right? Because somebody called us one time after we had done a resurrection celebration. They go, how come you say Jesus rose on the first day of the week? I thought he rose on Sunday. And I go, yeah. And they go, well, the first day of the week is Monday. No. Listen, in our American thinking, and we got our calendars are lined out that way, and et cetera. No, the first day of the week is Sunday. When did they gather together in the book of Acts? On the first day of the week. Why did they gather together on the first day of the week? They weren't trying to avoid the Sabbath. Why did they come together on the first day of the week? That's the day he rose from the dead. And listen, we should always be celebrating his resurrection, right? And they come together and they honor that day. That was the day he rose from the dead. Oh, and then in 1 Corinthians, it says, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay aside something, storing up as he may prosper. Once again, Paul is assuming the church is going to come together on the first day of the week. And there he's talking about giving, which is a whole different message, right? Because if you don't give, you're not getting to heaven. That was a joke. Some of you are visiting going, I can't believe he just said that. That's a whole different topic. Listen, that's something else. I don't want to get into that. But when were they there? The first day of the week. So you know what? I think it's fine if we want to, you know, this is our largest service. When is it? Sunday morning. Why? Well, that's when most people come. Part of it's tradition. Some of us don't even know why it's Sunday. Now you do. Now you have a good answer. Huh? Before you just told people, I don't know, that's just when I go to church. Most people are there and I like to be seen. So I go on that day. I don't know what it is. Sorry, that popped in my head. So listen. Listen carefully. The Sabbath, it's a day of rest. It's not about worshiping God. Now listen, I hope you hear my heart. I think we should worship God all the time. But do you understand? It's about rest. And we get things and we mess them all up. And then we try and shove it down somebody else's throat. And we say, this is how you're going to be holy. No. You know how you're going to be holy? By the righteous blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only way you're going to be holy, is by his blood. And we need his blood, and we need him. I think we sing a song, didn't we? Oh, how I need him. Yeah, I think we need him, don't we? Now, don't you love how Jesus handled it? He's the Lord of the Sabbath. So here's what you need to do. If you're still confused on the issue, I'm going to challenge you. Number one, read your Bible. Get in your word. Number two, ask Jesus. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. Ask him, hey, Lord, what should I be doing? You know what? He'll tell you. And some of you are going, really? He'll talk to me? Maybe. Or you might have your Bible open, or someone may give a message about the Sabbath, and you may have a greater understanding. But here's the important thing. Love God. Love God. And enjoy him. That's why he saved us. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your challenge. And Lord, even as we think of some legalistic things, and this was just one, but there's a whole bunch we can kind of get involved in, and we kind of set standards, and we do things because it makes us look better than somebody else. And Lord, I pray you'd work in our hearts, and I pray you'd grab us as a group of people and just cause us to fall more and more and more in love with you. Jesus, thank you for coming. Thank you for dying for our sin. Thank you for raising again on the third day. And thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit that you have placed in us so that we can live a spiritual life. We thank you for those things, and we want to honor you and love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, if you need